Okay, if you'll turn with me to the book of Hebrews tonight. Last week we talked about one of the key verses of the book of Hebrews. Can somebody tell me what verse that is? So if anybody was listening. Hebrews 13 and verse what? Okay, Hebrews 13:13, a very important verse in the book of Hebrews, summarizes really what the message is. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now, Hebrews, like any other books written to the Jewish people, emphasize a lot of truths that are related to Jewish thinking. And here we find that principle being without the camp. And you know, the issue is still the same today. They say that in Afghanistan, more people have come to Christ in the last 20 years than in the last 1,000. And of course, one of the distinctions of those who have come to Christ in a Muslim country is the issue of bearing the reproach of Christ. And those who come to Christ will suffer intense persecution, rejection, loss for coming to Christ. In America, the idea of Christians is to avoid any reproach. Christians today want the acceptance of the world. And that's why Christianity in America is so dead and so compromised and has such little revival. And the very thing that we try to avoid is the very thing that gives Christianity its life: identifying with Jesus Christ in his reproach. And so we have that great theme, and of course, in Hebrews, that was the thing, because these Hebrews who claimed to be Christians were seeking to go back to Judaism to avoid the reproach of Christ, to avoid persecution. Now, just some other general things about Hebrews is that the writer of Hebrews was known to the people that he was writing to. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18 and 19, the writer of Hebrews says, "Pray for us." Well, they must have known who he was that was writing. He said, "Pray for us." And verse 19, it says, "But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner." He is looking forward to coming back and being with them. Hebrews is unique in the fact that the specific location of people that he was writing to is unknown. Hebrews is unique in the fact that even though the people knew who was writing to them and were going to pray for them, him, and were looking forward to his return, there is no one who can say absolutely without any question who the author of Hebrews is although the author was well known and known to those who received this epistle. In the Bible, outside of the book of Hebrews, we have very little said about the high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 2:5, it says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It tells us of his intercessory mediatorial ministry. But we would know very, very little about Christ's priestly ministry if it wasn't for the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews tells us a number of things about Christ as our high priest. We'll look at just a couple of verses quickly. Hebrews chapter number 8. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesties in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. And that discussion goes on in Hebrews chapter 9. And then we come to verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the high place. For then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world. Verse 28, so Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time unto salvation. And we have this figure of Christ presenting his blood to God the Father. He said he was going to prepare a place for us. Well, how did he go and prepare a place for us? By presenting his blood to the Father as the payment of our sin. Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 12. For this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Of course, speaking of Christ's position in heaven. So Hebrews gives a thorough discussion of Christ as the believer's high priest. And without the book of Hebrews, we would know very little about that ministry. It is interesting that Melchizedek is only mentioned two times in the whole Old Testament. Once in Psalms and once in Genesis. And yet, in the book of Hebrews, Melchizedek is the main theme of at least three chapters. As Melchizedek, Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Probably the thing about Hebrews is that in the book of Hebrews, there are at least five sober warnings to these Hebrews. They are of such difficulty that there is great question as to how to interpret these warnings. But the key thing in the book of Hebrews is to remember, here are people who professed faith in Christ and yet are considering to go back to Judaism, whose types and figures were all fulfilled in Christ. And as you think about that, that's where we get the phrases. If we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there is therefore no more sacrifice for sins. If we willfully turn from Jesus Christ, will another Christ come? Will there be another sacrifice made for sins? No, to reject that sacrifice dooms one for eternity in hell. And there's a very pertinent warning here. The pertinent warning is that, you know, God's people need to be warned. How many have been saved over 30 years? Raise your hand. Okay. If all the people that you met in your life who professed to be saved were living for the Lord, how many people would there be in church? What would you say, Pastor Hatchett? Be more than full, wouldn't it? I think we have a definite, real issue here. Let's turn to Hebrews 10, and then we're going to look at the warnings. Verse 39. Hebrews 10, 39. It says, verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition." Understand that word. Judas was called the son of perdition. Does that mean he was a son of heaven or a son of hell? He's a son of hell. "We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." All right? So we have to, I guess, a couple questions to ask yourself. Can a true believer turn his back on Jesus Christ? Can a true believer, could these people be true believers and say, "We are going to turn back to Judaism and to leave Christ, the Son of the living God, who died for our sins"? Okay, so let's look at those sober warnings. Hebrews chapter 2 is the first one. "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Why should we give more earnest heed? Because through the ages God spoke to man through the prophets. But it says in these last days he has spoken to us through his Son. "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first begun to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God bearing them witness with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will." And so here we have a sober warning. How shall we escape? And of course, enters into this warning privilege. The Lord said to Capernaum and said to Chorazin, Bethsaida, "It will be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than for thee. Great light, great responsibility, great judgment. And you know, just kind of apply this. You know, it is a great privilege to hear God's word and to hear the truth. And it can become almost like a commonplace response to that truth, and to take it lightly. Let's go to the second warning. We're just going to try to look at them briefly. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Verse 6, notice it said, "But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end?" Notice the condition. Of whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And of course you might want to think of the parables in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, of the seeds cast on the stony ground, and the seed cast on a thorny ground that endured for a while and then denied the Lord. And you have to fit that in and say, okay, those professions, were they possessions? Were they possessions? And of course, as you study Matthew and you study James, that's been one of the themes of these of this religious people. Problem of profession without possession. But notice it says, verse 7, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his heart, his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 days. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed then, brethren, lest there be in any of you a evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another while it is called today, that lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Wherefore it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Okay, so this is a sober warning of the people who profess to be the people of God and rejected God's will, and their heart was hardened through the deceitfulness of sin and the hardness of heart. Chapter number 5, the third warning. It says, verse 11, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Well, there's it's identifying these people. They're dull of hearing. It says, "For when ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are as become as such have need of milk and not of strong meat." And it goes on all the way through chapter 6, verse 20. And these are some definitely difficult passages. Verse 4 of chapter 6, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, received blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And so here we have this passage. Scripture goes all the way through verse number 20 in this warning. A warning against apostasy. Now, let me say something. You know, we admit that these passages are hard to understand and to interpret, and there's a lot of difference of thought here, but, you know, there's a general message here that no one should escape. A warning of turning your back on Jesus Christ. This is a very sober message to turn your back on Jesus Christ. Now, let me put it in practical terms. You know, we aren't Jews, and so we're not thinking about going back to Judaism. And I'm not going to try to offend somebody, but I might. So you're saved, so to speak. You realize that you're saved. You say that you're saved by faith in Christ, apart from works. But you say, you know, it's okay. I can go back to the Catholic Church. Catholic Church, you're saved by seven sacraments. In Catholic Church, your sins are washed away by the Mass. You say, oh, I can, you know, I'll escape family persecution. Let me ask you, what's the difference between the Jews going back to Judaism and people who've been saved out of Catholicism going back to Catholicism? Folks, there's really not much difference. And the fact is this, in evangelicalism today, evangelicalism is going back to the Catholic Church. If you read Hebrews carefully, you'll say that that's the parallel type of thinking. Parallel type of thinking. And it really is to trod underfoot the Son of God and say that what he did on Calvary's cross wasn't for you and isn't the finished work. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Notice the fourth warning. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, so suppose ye shall be, he shall be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of Man and counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belong to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. The Lord shall judge his people as a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Here's a warning. Very serious. No matter how you interpret that, this is very serious. And I don't interpret any of these that you can lose your salvation. It's not talking about losing your salvation. It's talking about first of all, it's talking about those who profess to be saved, who will turn back. And then it talks about a very serious thing that if a Christian would do despite to the grace of God and turn their back on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you what, that's very, very serious talk here. Chapter number 12, verse 18. The fifth warning. It says, chapter 12, verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might not be, but might be touched and that burned with fire, etc. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words. Verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable number of angels. It says, verse 25, and to Jesus, verse 24, the mediator of the new covenant, whose voice shook the earth. It says, verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Who is that? Jesus Christ. And so we have a very serious tone here in the book of Hebrews. And they are very important for us to understand these sober warnings. And as we study the book of Hebrews, we'll seek to look at them a little bit more detail. But I'm wondering tonight, you know, the fit. You have a religious people. The Hebrews were religious people. They had a lot of religion. They thought they were choosing between religions, but they were really choosing about Jesus Christ. They were choosing about eternity. They were choosing about the sacrifice made for their sins. And if I could just make closing comment, you know, it seems so subtle. What does it take to turn your back on Jesus Christ? When the people of Israel were going to go into, were supposed to go into Kadesh Barnea, they were going to the land and they said, no. That was it for them for life, wasn't it? It was over. It was over. And we need to realize that everything is about Jesus Christ. Young person, you know, when you decide to go down the pathway of CCM music, it's not about music. It's about Jesus Christ. When you decide to go the way of the world, it's not about movies. It's not about the Hollywood stars. You know, it's not about that. It's about Jesus Christ. You know, when you're going to play this game of religion versus religion, so to speak, and follow the compromise of the hour, it's not about religion. It's about Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. And we need to realize that that is what the book of Hebrews is talking about. The focus is Jesus Christ. What are we going to do with Him? The Jews didn't want the reproach of Christ. And there's a multitude of things that are centered around that same issue today, aren't there? The reproach of Christ. People don't want to be different today. People want to fit into the world. And the world and Christ aren't on the same plane. The Bible says, if any man love the world, that's this world system, the love of the Father is not in him. It does, they don't both go together. The Jews couldn't have Judaism and salvation both. They had a choice. Let's bow in prayer as we go to prayer. Father, thank you tonight for just the sober warning that we need in this day in which somehow the spirit of the day is there is no judgment of sin and everything is blurred and the clouds are not black and white, they're gray. And yet we know that these Hebrews had this same dilemma. And the Word of God painted the picture clearly of right and wrong, black and white. And may, Lord, we understand the issue today is Jesus Christ as well. And so, Lord, for those who need to be warned, may we be warned. Maybe there are a sense of sobriety come upon us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.